Tonight we want to talk about the subject knowledge and zeal. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In that section, Paul, speaking to the Jews, his fellow Jews, told them in this passage of Scripture. He wrote these words. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I hear bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, some things in our society one must put together in proper proportion. H2O, you know, is very useful and necessary thing for you and I. But H2 and O2, hydrogen peroxide, is what? A bleaching agent, antiseptic, and explosive. That's not good. The proper combination is very important when you think about material things. In religion, some things must be compounded properly. Grace, the grace of God, you must understand what grace is, and then what obedience is unto God. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, Paul would write unto Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." He said the grace of the unmerited favor of God brings salvation. Who brought salvation? Jesus brought salvation to you and I. He appeared. He appeared to people in his day. He appears to us through the Word. And we see that grace and salvation is necessary. There are some people in our society that say that where God has pre-elected you to be either saved or lost, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's a false doctrine. Because God has given us all the opportunity before we were baptized, to weigh the gospel, and then to remain true unto Him. He gives people today the opportunity to obey the gospel that they can be saved. So therefore, we see obedience is what you do, and we see salvation by works. We see obedience. Obedience equals salvation in our. But zeal and knowledge. We think about zeal, we think about knowledge. They must be properly put in perspective in our lives. Zeal is aggressive pursuit, so to speak. But if you don't have the proper knowledge, like Paul said in this reading, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Well, what is knowledge? Knowledge is a clear perception of the facts that you have. The facts in which you have in your possession, you get knowledge by it. And you take that knowledge, and then you can produces zeal. That produces the right kind of zeal. But Paul was talking about they had a zeal, but they didn't have the right kind of knowledge. And you have to have the right kind of knowledge in the Word of God. That's what we're talking about tonight. Because we teach people the truth, and these people want to know what knowledge is. They become knowledgeable by us teaching to them, and then they have a zeal to obey the gospel. Well, we're going to look at two areas tonight. Number one, let's look at zeal minus knowledge. Zeal not minus knowledge. As we said at the outset, Paul was talking to his Jewish brethren in our text tonight, and he said that first of all, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire." But Paul, being a fellow Jew, he says, "For Israel, that they might be saved." He said, "I want my people to be saved," says Paul. He said, "They're not going about it right." He says, "They've got this zeal, but they don't have it according to the proper knowledge because they seek to establish their own righteousness," he said. And that's not what God wants. And because Paul adhered to the righteousness of God, he was persecuted from town to town. He was beaten. He was put in a prison. He was persecuted beyond measure. And then there were some of his brethren that even resisted the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, these people were called. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye." And what was, and we see in that passage of Scripture that that was an indictment upon those people because of the fact that these people didn't have the right type of knowledge. So they was, he says, your fathers did it. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. He says, you are not doing, you're establishing your own righteousness. They was rejecting the God's righteousness. You and I can't reject the righteousness of God and be saved. That's because these people try to establish their own righteousness. If we try to establish our own righteousness, then what's going to happen to us? We're going to be lost, aren't we? We'll be lost. Because God has given us a pattern to go by. They refuse to submit to God's righteousness. They put them, they had their own set of rules to obey. Jesus even talked about this in John chapter 16 and verse 2, and he said they even thought killing is in the service of God. He's telling the disciples, he said, they should put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. We have a group of people in the world like that now, don't we? Called the Muslims. They think that if they go blow themselves up, they will be a hero, and then they would be. And therefore, they would go to heaven in their minds. They will go to heaven. But we see that this is not what Jesus was talking about. This is not what Paul was talking about. It's not the agenda God wants us to follow. Because there are modern evidences of this happening, zeal minus knowledge. What about the cults? The cults we look in our society over the years, they demonstrated much zeal, didn't they? But it wasn't the right kind of zeal. It wasn't the right kind of, they didn't have the right kind of knowledge. Sects of different kinds of religious sects show much enthusiasm, but they don't do it with the right kind of knowledge. And there are people in the brotherhood today that are trying to change the church, but they don't doing it with the right kind of knowledge. They're doing it with the knowledge that they want to obtain. What they want to do. They want to show devotion to their cause and not to the cause of Christ. You know, those people who, you got to balance home and job and church responsibilities. But there have been some people that have neglected their families and neglected their children and neglected their jobs for the sake of doing the will of God, which is, but you have to balance your responsibilities at home and with God. And God will give you, and you know, God will give you the opportunities, and He will give you the time, if you use the time wisely, to take care of church work and home and job responsibilities. But see, zeal, if you don't have zeal, and if you have zeal and you don't have any knowledge, then that's no good. Number two, let's look at the other part. The knowledge minus zeal. Now you got the knowledge, but you don't have the zeal. You know, in the New Testament, there was a group known as the Gnostics. Word meaning the knowing ones, or the agnostics. And these people emphasize solely knowledge. Knowledge to do, say, about the law of law. They emphasized the knowledge of the old law. But they were minus zeal. You can have zeal and not knowledge, but then you can have knowledge without zeal. You may have zeal, so. But you have to have the two together. It has to balance out. In the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, in the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, to this church at Ephesus, Jesus said, they had been shown doctrinal soundness. They knew what they should do. But Jesus said they left their first love. They left their first love and became cold and disinterested. They had the knowledge, but they lacked the zeal, didn't they? He said they left their first love because of their lack of zeal for the cause of Christ. Then look at Revelation 3. Here's another church, the church at Laodicea. Jesus said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. These group of people became lukewarm. They became lukewarm and they had the knowledge, but they didn't have the zeal. They didn't have the zeal to teach people the gospel. So therefore Jesus would say was disappointed in them. And don't let us leave our first love. Don't let us become lukewarm just because we have knowledge. Let's continue to keep that zeal, that intensity. When you study with people, and when people want to study with you, study with them and teach them the gospel. Because these are applications which you and I both need tonight. Because, you know, we're here tonight because right now this is the most important thing in our lives. Being here to worship God in song, studying His will, praying to Him, this is important. So it's indeed important we should attend worship assemblies. We should attend worship services. And there are some people who wish they could be here, but they can't because of their physical condition. But there's some people who could be here, but they're not because they chose not to be here. But do you remember what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 10:25? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the last part of that verse is why we're here. We're here to exhort or encourage one another. But you know, the day of Jesus may come tonight. It may come before I get through with this lesson. And if it comes, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, there are many on that broad road which leads to destruction. He says, but there's few on the narrow road which leads to life eternal. And then at the end of Matthew 7, He said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And another reason why we need knowledge and zeal combined together is because we have opportunities every day to spread the gospel, to talk to people about the gospel, to get people thinking about their soul. That's the reason Jesus gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20 when He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, you go teach. Then these people are converted, and then you teach them again. You keep on teaching them. You keep on teaching the Word of God, because this is necessary. And when we put knowledge and zeal together in our lives, therefore we're prepared to talk to people who have fallen away. And we talk to them, but it's up to them to come back. But at least we talk to them, because Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 teaches us, brethren, and he's talking to Christians, Paul is addressing the church at Galatia, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You ever heard people say, well, I know I wouldn't never done that. It's talking about somebody who sinned. My daddy always said, how you know you wouldn't done it unless you was put in that position. I like that. And then, but we have the opportunities to talk to people about their souls and to talk to them and use our knowledge and with our zeal. Then in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, James says, brethren, if you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which convert the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of his sins. Those two passages of scripture in Galatians and the book of James teaches us just because we're faithful tonight doesn't mean that we're going to be faithful this time next year. We may be having the ones be talked to. Hope not. But we need to continue steadfastly. And then zeal and knowledge will enable us to give. Not to give only of our money, but to give our time, our talents to people, to help people, particularly their souls, help teach people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul is addressing the giving of our means. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints as I've given over to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. For on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him. There be no gatherings when I come. He said, this is, you must lay by him in store. You must prepare yourself to give. Give you money. Also give you time. Give you talents. Had a Bible study yesterday with a friend of mine. And one of the comments he made yesterday, he said, that's very thought provoking. So I'm going to study with him again Friday when I'm off. So he said that, and other people that I study with, they just love to study the Bible. They'd rather do that than anything. And then we must put things. Then these two areas, zeal minus knowledge, knowledge minus zeal, that we must put these together. You know, chemically, it's important what you put in chemically to make a substance. Therefore, spiritually, it's necessary what we put in our minds, what the knowledge. And then the motivation of zeal in our lives. You know, zeal minus knowledge is no more acceptable to God than knowledge without zeal. Zeal without knowledge may produce sin in our lives. Because you remember what Jesus said in John 16 and 2, he told the disciples, he said, they're going to put you out of the synagogue and they're going to kill you and they're going to think you do God, they're doing God's service. He says, they think they'll be doing something for God. But knowledge, if you have the knowledge without the action, is also sin. James chapter 4 and verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him is sin. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is trying to teach us, as he did his brethren, his Jewish brethren, that you and I need to study the Bible every day to have this knowledge. But then take this knowledge and use it wisely. Remember what Jerry said when we were studying the book of Proverbs downstairs? He says, about why? Wisdom. You need to use wisdom. Wisdom in our thinking. Wisdom in our actions. And then we take the knowledge and use it with wisdom. Then we can do great things for God. Maybe you're here tonight and need to respond to the invitation. We encourage you to do that. As we said, we know when Jesus is going to come. He may come tonight. He may come before, between when I get through and John starts the invitation song. But if you need to respond, tonight's the only night which you have, because this is the only time which you have, because this is the only opportunity which God has given you, because as a present. And if you need to respond while John leads us in this song, we encourage you to come now. Stand still.
Like the gentle voice of Jesus. Oh.